The bad actors understand that. We need that data in order to care for patients, which is why we're the number one most targeted industry in that vein.
You're listening to For the Love of Health, a podcast about delivering care and creating health, brought to you by Christiana Care. And now, here are your hosts.
Hello, everyone. I'm Megan McGurman.
And I'm Michael Chesney. Welcome to another episode of For the Love of Health, brought to you by Christiana Care.
Healthcare providers have a lot of information on their patients. Medical histories, demographics, identity, and financial data. That means those providers have a responsibility to appropriately use and protect patient data.
For this episode of our year-long series, The Toughest Questions in Healthcare, we ask, how should we use and protect patient data?
To answer that question, we're joined by Dr. Ed Ewan, Director of Clinical Data and Analytics for Christiana Care, and Christiana Care's Chief Information Security Officer, Anahi Santiago. Ed and Anahi, thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So, Ed, we'll start with you. What kind of data do health systems collect?
We collect data really during the process of caring for our patients using all of the different electronic systems like electronic health records and financial systems when we record people's insurance and register them for visits. So we collect data in from many different systems at really all points of contact with the patient during their care. And then we store those data in a data warehouse, actually, in the cloud. And we use that data for purposes of quality, safety, and operational efficiency and business operations, really to help, you know, guide us in decisions that we make going forward.
Why do we collect so much data? Why do health systems need all of this? And how has it changed over the years?
We collect the data as part of providing the care. And this information is actually necessary to treat patients, to understand kind of their prognosis, what will happen, what should we be doing, how are they faring. That's what the data are for. They're collected really as a byproduct of providing the care that we give to our patients every day. So that's the reason for collecting the data. But there's a second purpose for it. We can answer really very important and interesting questions when we bring that data together and look at it across the different aspects of care, across different locations. It gives us a greater perspective or better perspective on what's happening in the big picture.
Ed, how have you personally seen this change? And in the field of work, how have you had to adapt to so much more data being collected?
Well, I started in the data collection process back in, I think, 1998, when we actually at Christiana Care created our first data warehouse. We are among the first organizations in the world really doing data warehousing in healthcare. And at that time, we didn't even have a fully kind of functional electronic health record. And so the majority of the data that we had were financial, really, and registration data. And that has grown tremendously since then. And as the systems have grown, as we've become more sophisticated in our electronic health records, as we've added systems to other areas in the organization and home care, as everything's become more digital, we've collected more data during the process of providing care. And that data is all then stored, and of course, it's really grown exponentially over the years. It's been challenging in the sense that the needs have just really exploded in terms of the volume and complexity. But the advantage is that we can really understand so much more deeply what's happening with patients and with populations over time.
Anahi, we spoke with Christiana Care President and CEO Janice Nevin for the first episode of the series on the toughest questions in healthcare, and she homed right in on cybersecurity, especially as we start to build out more and more digital capabilities. So as you see more things being built, how do you approach cybersecurity? How do you approach doing that with all these new advanced systems of care?
I think the most important component of that question is really around understanding what the organization wants to accomplish via digital means and really working in partnership with them from the inception of the development of that strategy so that we can build cybersecurity from within as part of the fabric of those digital initiatives. That can help us be more successful in our ability to protect patient information.
So this sounds complicated. How do you two best work together to make sure that we're both collecting all of the data, Ed, that you've mentioned, but also, Anahi, making sure that it's not getting into the wrong hands.
So when we're looking for, say, a cloud storage vendor, we're really looking for her team to help us choose the right one, make sure that it's a safe place to put that information. And also, when we move the data, we need that her team's help to understand, are we doing it in a way that can't be intercepted, that is secure?
I see us as both protectors and consultants, where we employ a lot of technology to protect our organization from cyber attacks and cyber threats. But we also have a lot of business processes that rely on data and clinical processes that rely on data. And so it's working with Ed's team and with stakeholders across the entire organization in the appropriate ways to share information, as well as advise them on the potential risks of partnering with certain cloud providers or other third parties.
What initiatives have been the most complicated so far?
The more complicated initiatives are those that are now pushing the care outside the four walls of the hospital. Virtual care, remote patient monitoring, hospital at home, where the technologies and the data that we're utilizing to care for patients is now outside the control of our own environment. Yet the requirements for us to still protect that information and protect those devices that are caring for patients is still there.
That's been a relatively recent change the past few years. The explosion of telemedicine or hospital care at home program is only a couple of years old. So this is obviously moving very quickly. What are your big concerns for the next few years, both maybe here at ChristianaCare and just broadly?
So frankly, making sure that we're keeping pace with the speed at which these initiatives are evolving. We look at ourselves as enablers of the organization, and we don't ever want to be the reason why we cannot move at the pace that the organization wants to move. So that's one component. The other component is that the threat landscape is moving as quickly as the care delivery landscape. And so ensuring that while we're keeping pace with organizational initiatives, that we're also keeping pace with how quickly the threat actors, the hackers, are also evolving.
What is the biggest threat facing the industry right now?
The biggest threat facing the healthcare industry right now is something called ransomware, which is essentially a type of virus that is deployed throughout an organization. And what it does is it takes control of computers and information systems and makes them inaccessible to clinicians and business users. The organization that falls victim to this ransomware attack essentially receives a note from a hacker asking for money in order to give the systems back. When those systems are not available, it becomes very difficult to care for patients in the way that we're used to caring for patients. And so organizations are increasingly having to determine whether they're going to pay that ransom to get their systems back or whether they're going to recover their systems via other means, which can be very, very time consuming.
Ed, is some of this threat happening because of the amount of data we're collecting?
Absolutely. Yeah. The more data we collect, the more value there is for the hacker. And the greater the market. They're definitely related.
And is it worth it?
Absolutely, because we need these data to treat our patients, but also to provide, you know, insight into what can we do better. And we're not alone. Asanahi will tell you this is there's a very large market out there for healthcare data. So that's why we need the attention on security that we have.
It sounds like there are things that differentiate the information, the data we have as a healthcare organization from the data and information that Amazon has, that Wayfair has, that the other things that we interact with may have. Does that present any special kind of challenges?
We talked about ransomware. It becomes very valuable to those ransomware threat actors because of the life safety considerations of being able to access that data in real time. And the bad actors understand that we need that data in order to care for patients, so we might be more willing to pay for that data, which is why we're the number one most targeted industry in that vein. In addition to that, Ed talked about the power of the data in order to make decisions and to deliver better quality of care. Now think about nation states and the economic advantage that they could have by taking all of that data and applying their own analytics to that data is as valuable to the threat actors as it is to those of us that are using it to improve patients' lives in our community.
There are certainly members of the community who say, I don't want you to have any of my information. Give it all back. You know, what is your message to those people?
It would be extraordinarily difficult to provide the care we do provide if we didn't have that information. We are far more efficient and reliable than we've ever been in the past, in part because of the automation and the data that we have access to. And if that were to be taken away, we wouldn't be able to perform as well as we do. And so for that individual that wants to take their information or their data back, what happens when they show up unexpectedly in the emergency room and no one has access to anything about them? That puts them in a really potentially very dangerous situation.
And I would like to add, we take a lot of steps and make a lot of investments to ensure that we're constantly prioritizing cybersecurity and that we're putting the appropriate controls in order to protect that data and that we're thinking about those business resilient processes that we want to put in place and practice such that if we were to suffer an attack, we would still be able to deliver the best care possible to our patients and to our community. And that means going to paper, understanding how you're going to use that paper while the computer systems are not available, and then exercise those mechanisms through what we call tabletop exercises, which are, you know, creating scenarios that are commensurate to not having that data available, and then walking your clinicians through how they're going to operate in the face of those attacks so that if and when those attacks do happen, they have muscle memory.
Ed, beyond just the individual and their ability to have better care because the data is available and we know things about them, you're actually doing some really interesting things with the data you have. Can you make this a little bit more than just an abstraction? Tell us about how you use data to find and fight inequities and health equity issues in the health system.
This has been a really exciting development in the last, say, 5 years with the advent of really data science and machine learning, artificial intelligence, and using those new tools with the data that we've collected over the years and being able to look for patterns as they occur over, you know, tens or hundreds of thousands of patients over time, we've actually been able to understand kind of where inequities are occurring. And one example might be in hypertension, where we understand that certain individuals are not getting controlled in terms of their hypertension as frequently or as reliably as others. And now we can pinpoint kind of where those people live, what practices are involved, how great is the gap. And it allows us to really much more precisely target our interventions, our improvements, to the populations that need it most. So it becomes imperative that we use those resources, those healthcare resources, as effectively and efficiently as we can. But it's only possible with really the large amount of data that we have spanning many years and over many different populations. And we're just scratching the surface of that. This is really just the beginning.
If it's just the beginning, where is it going?
Other industries are ahead of us in terms of how they use this information, but we're not far behind. Bringing in textual data from, say, progress notes, discharge summaries, social work notes. We can begin to analyze these data using machine learning tools, natural language processing, and actually have the computer read the note and pick out the important parts for us. And then make that usable in analytics so that we can understand kind of, well, does this note say that maybe things aren't going well? And if that's the case, and we have two notes in a row from two different doctors, that makes it even more concerning, and so on and so forth. So we can begin to kind of raise the alert or raise the, you know, the level of awareness that somebody might be getting into trouble. This may be just the beginning. And the value of having the data really looking from multiple perspectives and over time is that it can provide insight that a single individual doesn't have access to. the machine can actually pick up patterns that one individual human being cannot. I actually prefer not to call it artificial intelligence, but really augmented intelligence. The machine makes us better.
And Anahi, as augmented intelligence grows, how does cybersecurity adjust?
We leverage the same mechanisms to augment our cybersecurity mechanisms through augmented intelligence. Unfortunately, the bad actors are also utilizing the same mechanisms, but we are still leveraging technology to continue to advance our cybersecurity capabilities.
Anahi, what are simple steps both consumers and ChristianaCare caregivers can be taking to protect their data?
I think the first is understand where you're giving out your data and how those different repositories or third parties are utilizing your data. Think about products that are free on the internet. Generally, those products are utilizing the data for financial gain. Where it comes to some of the sensitive data that you may share, such as financial information, ensure that you are using protective mechanisms like strong passwords on websites, two-factor authentication, which is, you know, that code that you get on your phone before you're actually allowed to log into the system.
Ed and Anahi, thank you guys so much.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you for having us.
And we'll have more information on collection, use, and protection of patient data in the show notes for this episode at ChristianaCare.org/podcast.
And while you're there, click on the links to subscribe to For the Love of Health on a variety of podcast apps. And you can also connect with us on social media. Just search at ChristianaCare.
We're going to be back in 2 weeks with another great episode.
Until then, thanks for joining us
for the love of health.